Travers Cosgrove, Reel 6. So, the Meuse and the Rhine yet to cross. How was the Meuse crossed?
Well,
where you crossed it?
I think we had captured that bridge intact, and certainly the ground had been captured, even if it had subsequently been demolished, but that would have been a straightforward bridging job, because we would have held both sides, we would have occupied both sides of the bank. And we got into Nijmegen, and the Waal had captured the bridge, the two bridges over the Waal in Nijmegen, the road bridge and the rail bridge. But the Germans had managed a very clever midget submarine attack and had detonated charges under both these bridges. They felled the span of the railway bridge, and they blew the deck out of the span of the road bridge. But we were able to bridge over that. And we had to learn to take a lot more precautions from then onwards. We had underestimated and just not thought of this, the possibilities open to owning an artery of seaways upstream. You know, there's nothing they couldn't do on the Rhine. If you think about it, it wasn't just some little stream. It was a very, very important maritime artery, and of course they took advantage of this and surprised us, but they didn't do it again. When we got to onto the island, as we called it, to the town of Elst, we parked ourselves in the railway yard and an orchard. There was an apple growing area. That was good. They were right. But we were to have gone with the 43rd Division to cross behind the airborne. But we were never leashed. We were never unleashed. And we didn't go.
Where were you when the Operation Market Garden started?
When we were, when it started, we were on the edge of Antwerp, and then we soon went to this Lommel bridge site, that which we had already wrecked, but we hadn't moved. So it was all that time after the airborne troops had actually landed, we saw them going over. They may not have landed until day or two after we had started, but it was quite clear once we started that operation they would have guessed if they didn't know what we were going to do. And so we were really part of it from the beginning. But we were to follow the 43rd Division in behind the airborne, but we were never allowed to go. Which we were told we were going to be there all winter. And the next day, we were sent back to Oss, just the other side of the Graves, just the other side of the Meuse, the Maas. And told that we were to attack Sir Togenbosch. And that occupied us for the next 10 days. That was a major effort by chiefly 53rd Division. We had 7th Armoured Division as well, as support from tanks. We hadn't any tanks of our own. And I can't tell you about the tactical aspects of the battle, but it was a textbook attack on Türkenbosch, which is a city with three water rings of water defense. We worked our way towards it steadily. Very few mines for the most part, but after, on about the second day, we ran into minefields.
And mine clearing was part of your...
Yes,
sir. Yes.
Yes.
What were you using to clear them?
Well, we had, of course, the usual mine detectors, which would ring on the German telemines. But the mines they were using here were what they call Holz mines, made of wood, which didn't ring on the magnetic mine detectors, and the only thing to do is prodding. If you prodded at an angle, you would hopefully not detonate the mine, but you would meet an obstruction. So we were prodding. And I very cleverly blew up my own truck. But but we did find them all right, and we cleared a lot, most of them, but well, we didn't.
How did you blow up your own truck?
Well, I backed it onto one. Well, I wasn't driving it, but that's what happened.
You told the driver to back up?
Yeah.
He was all right with it?
Yes, yes, yes. The only thing we did is that we ignited some of the smoke grenades we were carrying. So it looked as if the truck was burning, but it was the smoke grenade that... so it was a matter of getting in and getting those things out rather than before. But the truck was repaired. But for the next few days, I was less mobile than I should have been. But and from there, we did go laterally southwards to pick up the main road, where we hadn't advanced along the main roads because we had expected that there were German 88mm guns would be firing down that, and we took the windy sand roads in the background. And while our brigade didn't make the first assault on Türkenbosch, we saw the tanks going along the river line, on the skyline. The thing you never did, but the Germans didn't have the guns or the ammunition to stop us. So we made this very unmilitary approach along the railway line, tanks along the railway line, to get as close to and into Den Bosch. That's a story, you know, the battle is a story on its own. We had to get across... We had to get the main road across this series of water obstacles I've told you about, and that was what I actually wasn't involved in, but others of the company were. I was to go on the other side, but we were all ready with a bit of... We hadn't got any Bailey bridging left, so I had got some house, you know, joists, roof joists and things that we could get some sort of a crossing over. The commanding officer of the Occident Bucks went on a recce on his own out there and got shot. Or they blew up the bridge in his face and killed him. I forget what it was. And
what was his name?
Hare. Mm-hmm. Hare. So we were happy. Well, the plan was altered, and that became the limit of our advance for the time being. And the division was then sent southwards and eastwards to places like Wirt to drive it and widen our hold on the southern part of Holland to get up to the Maas opposite Roermond, yes. Yes, so Tergenbosch is a place where we still go to an annual pilgrimage. Just received the invitation the other day.
Means a lot to the 53rd.
Yes. But the major pilgrimage, the last major pilgrimage was last year. And we went on that. But they're just reminding us that they will themselves be holding some ceremony this year. But I don't think there is to be another major occasion.
So you were in Holland then as well?
Well, yes, we were in Holland for quite a long time after that. We built bridges and crossed canals to get to the Meuse. Holland, this part of Holland is on a plateau about roughly 100 feet, 80 to 100 feet above the Meuse Valley. And there was an enormous deep lock, canal lock at the end of one of these canals. And the CRE said, well, this has got to be, I'm not going to have a situation where I build a bridge and the enemy lets the water out. You know, we've got to know what we're doing. That bridge, we have either got to hold that bridge or we've got to stop it, drain the canal before we get there. First of all, Dick Brown and I had to cross-coin whose job this was going to be. Well, in the event, it was nobody's job because the infantry captured the lock. So we reckoned that we controlled that situation and it was drained. But they did decide that the next bridge commander would be the fellow who was to have done that one, but he'd also get sent on a UK bridging course afterwards. So that was Dick Brown. So he was in charge of the next bridge, which was over a little tributary of the Maas opposite Roermond. We were so close to the enemy on the other side that they could hear us coughing, and so their shots were fairly accurate. But we did build it. It was a 40-foot double single bailey bridge.
So that was after the Germans had been pushed back from the bank opposite, was it?
No, they were very much on the other bank.
Right.
So the Maas was quite a different. Crossing the Maas would have been a major task, but there's just a little stream, little tributary.
So you built your bridge.
We built our bridge, and it gave us. There was a little islet in there, on the edge of the Maas, which we had occupied. Yes, we had our adventures with that, and.
So were they firing at you while you?
Oh yes, they were. Yes, yes.
Tell me how
did you go about this, without too many people getting injured, as it were? Well, if six of you, as it would be, carrying a bailey bridge panel, there would be one person on, there'd be three pairs of people. Mm-hmm. So there are three people on each side, mm-hmm. and you would be carrying a bar like this, and the panel would be standing vertically here, and the other chap on the side. So you would be that's how you carried a Bailey Bridge panel. Now it would weigh quite a lot. Mm-hmm. It took six of you to carry it. So the last thing you wanted to do is to have it fall on you. So if you had to put it down, and you had to move yourself somehow or other out of the way of the panel. There was a story at one time, people heard one coming and got down and got up again before it had time to topple. That, I think, is a little over-elaborated, but I was supposed to have been in that bridge panel party. That was a later bridge. But that was the sort of problem you were up against, that this panel, if it fell on you, would do you as much harm as the enemy would. You're dealing with heavy things. So bridge building, it wasn't just that you were there, that you were dealing with things which you had to be disciplined in how you put them down.
So your platoon, I mean, all the engineers were very disciplined.
Well, you had to learn this drill. Yeah. You had to learn that drill.
So that was something that you'd been practicing.
Yes, so we'd been practicing. We'd been practicing it long enough, but you hadn't practiced the shells coming.
No. So, how long did it take you to make that bridge?
About 4 hours.
Yeah. And any casualties?
Yes. Yes, no, I don't think there were fatal casualties, but not injuries. Yes.
And then the oxen box went over.
The oxen box went already over by Cape Ock Bridge and this sort of thing. They were there, but they weren't getting mortar ammunition forward and that sort of thing until we could. Bridge was over. Mm-hmm. Elst. Mm-hmm. A few days after that, the Germans opened the dams on the above stream, and the Meuse became in flood, mm-hmm. And all this area was inundated, and it remained so for. As far as we were concerned, the rest of the campaign. So there was no question of us building a bridge over to Rome, and at that point we were happy to have cleared our bank. Mm-hmm. And then this must have been December. And we went back to regroup for the what was intended to be the attack into Germany. It wasn't quite known, but it would have been the same as it was eventually. And anyway, we were here in Malines, I think it was Malines. Regrouping, we ran a mines exhibition for get the infantry aware of the sort of things they would be up against. And I remember one of the officers of the Oxford and Bucks who came round was Lieutenant Paget. He'd been one of the people I'd known before we went across. He'd been wounded in Normandy, and he was a son of General Paget, whose name will appear in various places. But I never saw him again. He got hit, killed soon after that, probably in the next assault, which I'll tell you about. But we had a few moments of peace there, and then And then the Germans started the Ardennes offensive. And just as suddenly, we were told to be ready, and I was sent off as an advance party to the line which the BEF had occupied in 1940 when they went into Belgium to try and Genappe, near Waterloo, just south of Waterloo. And I was to the advance party in the company would come the next day. I was travelling the middle of the night. And I went I'd been sent a month earlier by the CRE on the quiet to see if I could find somewhere where we could have a little unofficial leave centre in Brussels for the Divari. Well, I'd found one at a place called Oudegem, an empty house. And so I headed for that, which is right on my way. I got there and I had to start off again early next morning and got to Genappe and found the river line. Was it still the same lease? No, it wasn't. But anyway, there's a river line through there. And in the course of the day, the company caught up with me and we began preparing demolitions on the bridges there. When I was getting on for Christmas.
What was the weather like?
Okay then. It was nice and clear.
What was the terrain like here?
Well, wooded, but open with woods. Yes. We found, people were in a more relaxed attitude, and one of our lads, Peter Weigel and Sergeant East, from one platoon, had found themselves billeted with Mademoiselle de la Résistance. And she was good fun as well. Well, I said, well, now what about the lads having a Christmas party? Could you organise it that they could go off in pairs, half of them go off in pairs, and join in the celebration? She said, yes, we'll do that. So we did. We did. We did. And I was told, not very special, this is the VV Comte himself. You must have a nice person, nice chaps to go off with him. So did my best. I couldn't be so far away as that.
So where did this was your platoon? Was it?
This is my platoon. Well, yes. Yes, I suppose it was. By this time, the rest of the company might have moved away a bit.
So where did they actually spend Christmas then? They went for the meal, did they?
They went out for the evening Christmas Eve meal with the civilians, yeah. Half of them. Mm. I went to the Marchand de Charbon, the coal merchant. Mm-hmm. I had a very good evening. Towards the end of which, the OC appeared. Move forward at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. That was all. But the Marshal and the Chabon came up to me, were you going backwards or forwards? It's all right, forwards. That made his party. that and true enough, at about 9 or 10, we were all lined up. And the Recce Regiment were there too, and a fellow whose obituary was in the papers just a few months ago from the Recce Regiment was the squadron commander that we travelled with, down to Namur, on the Meuse, at the northern tip of the of the Ardennes, or the north western tip of the northern Ardennes. And we were to take over billets there, which we did. And the one that I was going into was the doctor's house. And a day or so later, I met the doctor. He said, "Who are you?" he hadn't appreciated that there'd been a change. I was responsible for the demolitions of two bridges, right in front of it. I'm very glad I didn't have to do them, because I never got the electrical circuit going for one of them.
So you laid the...
No, we didn't. They had been laid already.
Oh, right.
We took them over, but I never got it right. So I'd been running off the bridge, firing my revolver at some of the detonators, if it had come to the worst. But the other bridge was easy enough. That was controllable, but the railway bridge was a difficult one. It came up to New Year, and I managed to get the same thing organised with the other half of the chaps.
Did you?
Yes. In Namur.
Yeah.
That was right. Then we were to move slightly further south, because the Fays had, we'd held Normandy and taken over the north flank and had held the German advance, and now it was a question of pushing them back. And we were to go to another place, I forget just what it was. The next big place down, we were in a village quite a bit out of it, and I was to do a reconnaissance of a bridge over a tributary, the Meuse, on the east side. And I suppose this was the worst night I ever had.